Okay, I take no responsibility. Okay.
Daniel.
I heard they're recording me, and I'm just going to make sure. That's very sad. But first, I want to just mention, isn't this awesome right here? I love Jesus, right? Jennifer McClain made that, I think for me or my wife, probably for my wife, but maybe for me too. We're going to be losing Jennifer. She's had some tough stuff happen, but God is working it out for her, and she's going to be moving to Tigard. So can we just give her a clap and tell her we're going to miss her? Okay. We're also going to be missing the Boyds. You know, they're going to be moving on, starting a house church up in Portland, and they're going to be extremely well missed. I don't even know if you say that right. So, but I'm going to put this down so I don't sweat on it. So let's say a quick prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your kingdom. Father, to be chosen by you, Father, to become like your son, Jesus Christ. To know and to learn what true love is, to be challenged, to change, to conform to the likeness of your son so that we can be a light to the world. So that when we're hit, we're slapped, we can turn around and we can love and we can be different. God, I pray, Father, as we go through your word today, Lord, that your spirit speaks to our spirit, that you help us, if we're a little bit off course, to come back on course, that you help us, Father, keep our eyes on your son and the hope, not necessarily the hope in this life, although there's great hope, but the hope in the next, Father, and help us give understanding of all the chaos and all this stuff going on, and grant us the tools, Father, to persevere through this journey called life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray. Amen. So last time I was up here, I talked for 50 minutes. Felt like five to me. So I have a request of you guys. This has 20 minutes on it. All right. So it's I'm going to hit start here. But what I'm going to ask, I'm literally going to ask you guys questions, and I want you to chime in. I don't want you to be upset if I cut off after two or three responses. But I'm going to hit this, and so I want to first see who wants to be interactive.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, people. Who wants to be interactive?
Yeah.
All right, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Daniel gave me this, he says, preach on this, which I love because I'm a humble person. So let's go ahead and actually turn to Genesis. No, we'll go to chapter 6, verse 1. And there's been and this is a continuation of Galatians. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through Galatians 1 through 5, chapter 6, 1 through 5. We're going to break down one. We're going to dive into break down verse one. We're going to just kind of do a swim through two, verse two. And then we're just going to kind of just do a couple quick points on three through five. So let's do it. Galatians 6. Now I got to change from my timer to my Bible. Paul, writing to the Christians in Galatia, says in chapter 6, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load." That's the New American Standard Version. I want to focus on three words right off the top of the bat. Caught, trespass, restore. Your initial take when you think of caught is busted, right? I just caught my teenager doing something she's not supposed to be doing. Busted, right? But I'm not sure if that's the meaning of this word. And I'll just quickly go over a little bit of the Greek. That word caught in verse 1 is polambano. I can't even speak English, so Greek is really hard for me. It doesn't mean busted. It means overcome. It means trapped. Trespass is not the typical word that's used in the Bible for sin. It's actually parapatoma, which is about 18 times, and it's a blunder. It's a tripping up. The word sin in the Bible is hamartia, and that's all over the word. But in the NIV, it's translated sin for some reason. Restore means to mend, equip. And so when you read this scripture, another way of reading this, well, let me ask you this first. Paul qualifies who does the restoring. According to the scripture, who's supposed to do the restoring?
The ones who are spiritual.
The ones who are spiritual. So what does that mean?
Not
right. It literally means those led by the Spirit. And I think this is great because it fits into what Prashant was talking about. Jumping in, trying to help and help someone when you're not led by the Spirit. And we could talk about that a little bit more. So if we were to reread this, I rewrote it because I like to rewrite the Bible like a lot of people do. A perspective of looking at this is, brethren, even if anyone is overtaken, trapped, in a misstep or a blunder, you who are led by the Spirit, mend, equip such as one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Does that kind of change the way you look at this? Who here has been overtaken? Right? So let's throw that out. Now, this is not a rhetorical question. I want to hear from you guys. What are some things that we can be overtaken with, that we can be trapped in?
For me, fear.
Fear.
And that leads to all other kinds of stuff.
Right, that's great.
Pride.
That's me. Anybody else?
I think maybe a false search for happiness.
That is great. Yep. Yep.
Selfishness.
Anxiety.
Shame.
Anger. It goes on and on and on and on and on, right? You know, sometimes we live in a reality that we see as very material, but we don't understand it's very metaphysical. There's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. And we have this path. We have the Spirit of God. God tells us, I gave you my Spirit. Follow my Spirit. And Galatians is big on that. If you want to go farther, go into Romans chapter 8, 9, 10, and he expounds on that. But this leading through this treacherous world, and we have an enemy that throws traps. He knows what's your buttons. He knows what my buttons are. Addiction can be one of them, right? Pride, self. I can be, or overtaken. It's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. I was saying, what's the noun? What's the story? And I was thinking about quicksand, right? Some of you younger people probably don't even remember quicksand. I was like, where did quicksand go? It was like in every movie. Right? It was in every movie. Quicksand, don't move. If you move, you go farther down. You'll die. Cry out for help. Swim a little bit, but don't move. Where's quicksand? That's a travesty of our culture. But I think about it. You're going through a jungle. You're with somebody. There's three people there, right? You have your guide. You have your buddy, your shepherd, and you. And you fall in quicksand, right? Everybody keeps going on. Some of us fall in quicksand, and we try to do what? Take care of it ourselves. I'm king of that. I got this. I'll figure this out, right? I'll work harder. I'll do more. I just have to change this. And then we have friends who come in, and like, they come up, you cry out, they come up, and they're like, hey, you know, all you got to do is this. All you got to do is just try harder. Just do this, right?
Yeah.
Try this. Their hearts are good. Their hearts are right. Their hearts are great, but their hearts aren't led by the Spirit because they lack discernment. And the Spirit, let me ask you that. Why is it important to be led by the Spirit when you're trying to help somebody?
You don't always know what the Spirit's doing.
Right. That is outstanding, yes. Yeah.
Typically, we don't know where the Spirit is taking us, so why would we know where the Spirit is taking someone else?
Awesome. Anybody else?
Well, the Bible says that the Spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other, so we don't do what we want. So if we're not led by the Spirit, we're being led by the flesh, and we're going to lead other people.
Do not rely on your own understanding, right? We think, go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, it'd be really tempting to live by what we see and what we feel we can do with it because it's right there in front of us. So that conversations with the Spirit, you know, those are the things that it leads us in the things that we can't see, like the ways that we could be doing things.
Right. That is great. I love asking you guys stuff because I didn't know. Robert.
If you're not led by the Spirit, you could actually do more damage.
Right.
Whoever you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Than, you know, actually just helping them.
Totally agree. Totally agree. So how do you get led by the Spirit? Let me hear it. The Bible. What else? Prayer is so important, right? Anything else?
Being careful.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking being careful. And so Joshua, be careful. He kept telling him, be careful and follow my word. Sometimes when you're too zealous.
Right. No, absolutely. Just do that. We're kind of, some of us are formulative, right? We want to formulate it. Just you're good to go, right?
Yeah, I think meditation is often overlooked.
Meditating on the word, meditating on what's going on, and so important. And those who are, go ahead, Nick.
Praying, not doubting.
Ah, trusting. Put your faith in.
Fasting out too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, prayer and fasting go together.
Yes. And when we do those things, it becomes not about who. It becomes not about us.
Right.
It becomes about that person who's been overtaken. Mm-hmm. Right? Not how we've been hurt by that person in the past. Not by how whatever's happened by that person in the past. But it becomes about, I'm here to save this person. And it becomes also about really watching ourselves in our own pride. Mm-hmm. Right? Hey, I'm saving these people because I'm a rescuer.
Right.
I'm a rescuer. I'm going to rescue you. Right? As I'm pushing you down to drown, if I'm not led by the Spirit. But I was trying. My intentions were good, right? My intentions were good. My intentions were to do what was right. Doesn't that make it okay? God bless you, Brian. That's my name, Brian. I talk to myself in the mirror sometimes. It's strange having a beard now, but kind of weird, old. But my intentions are good. But the path is off. If it's not led by the Spirit, and if it's not gentle. Some of us, when we get energy, and I'm very good at bringing, I'm a big dude, I can bring a lot of energy to something. And that energy can put all the defenses up in the world on somebody. And it is not in my nature to be gentle. I have a teenage daughter. And I've realized as a teenage parent, it's become about me a lot of times. My hurt feelings, my disrespectedness, my things, right? And we'll kind of talk a little bit about that later. Not about her, right? So when I'm coming at her with, hey, you know, this, this, and this, and this, and my tone isn't gentle and loving and spiritual and thought out, there's no way through those defenses. When it is in our lives, we may not think we penetrate those defenses, but God's Spirit does.
Yeah.
And so we move on in the scripture, and he says, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. And we talked about this, right? I think it started coming up. What's the temptation when you're trying to help somebody? Let me hear it. We're hearing some things. Go ahead. What's that?
Oh, I said hero complex.
But... hero complex, yes. What else?
Frustration,
right? Because it's about us in some ways. Or all you have to do is this, or you're exhausting your time. I'm trying to help this person, but they won't. They're in quicksand, and I'm sitting there right there trying to pull them out, but they won't take my hand. Dude, take my hand.
Yeah.
Just take my hand. What else?
Despair.
A lack of hope. This will never change. Everything in the world says that this is set. This is the reality. What else?
I think resentment. When you know that somebody should do, or you think someone should do something and they don't.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yep.
You hold blame to them for then being hurt by it.
It's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you don't have that spirit supporting your footing, you're going to slide right in that pit.
Yes. How many of you have started feeling differently about your brother and sister based off a brother or sister's complaint about that a brother or sister? Mm-hmm. That's really confusing. Mm-hmm. You join them in the quicksand.
Yeah, totally.
You see their suffering, you see their stuff, and you're like, your spirit wants justice and righteousness, and you're like, how dare that person do this? And all you've done is jumped right in the quicksand with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you are blinded. You're not following the spirit. Because the spirit is empathetic and wants you to connect with that person in a world to do what? Not jump in the quicksand with them, to help restore them, mm-hmm. to mend them, to equip them, to draw them out. But you can't draw them out. You're holding, let's say they grab on your arm. See, I'm the kind of guy that's not grabbing on anybody's. I'm not even asking for help. So I just sit in this quicksand. And it turns out, I looked up quicksand. Quicksand doesn't kill you. Who would know the movies were wrong? But you can't go anywhere with quicksand. You're stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'm the kind of guy that gets stuck in the quicksand and is like, I'm going to figure this out. Nobody else is wise enough to help me. Nobody else can help me. It's going to be, look, hey, they've given me bad advice before. They don't know what I'm going through. And do I get out of that quicksand? Nope. But who I look for is really important. Because if I look for my buddies who are not spirit-led, they're going to come right back in there and they love me. They're coming in that quicksand with me.
Right.
And we're going to stay stuck. How many of you guys have been stuck in your emotion?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that poison your soul?
Sucks out all the faith.
And love.
Yeah.
Think about the love, because this scripture ultimately is about love, and we'll get to that quickly. Timer goes off. Because this is about love. And guys, I'm stuck. But I don't want to grab somebody. I grab that hand somebody's offering me. I'll grab it sometimes. But if their hand isn't grabbed to the Spirit of God,
right?
There's no pulling anybody out.
Right.
There's just the drowning guy pulling the other guy in. Mm-hmm. You know? And so when we're working to try to help one another, the best work we can do is on our knees and in prayer, fasting, taking us out of it.
Yep.
Saying, well, I love this person. Or maybe I hate this person, but I need to love this person. Yep. And that is where I'm failing as a father. I'm failing to take me out. Hold the spirit, because you know what? And we'll talk about it. Let's move on. Verse 2. We're going to go quickly. Time is ticking. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Now, law of Christ phrase only shows up twice in the Bible, both by Paul. Okay? He spent the previous chapter saying, let's get rid of the law. Right? Now he's talking about the law of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, as scholars do, they argue about these things. Right? Well, it means this, it means that. It means this, it means that. Galatians 5:14, I think, self-defines what Paul means right here. If you have your Bibles, turn over there. I'll just read it for time's sake. For the whole Mosaic law is fulfilled in one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So to fulfill the law of Christ is to do what? Go ahead. Love your neighbor. And so Jesus has a perfect story about this given to us in Luke chapter 10. We're a lawyer, and we hate lawyers, but they were just people in law, right? But he asked the question each one of us asks, each one of us argues about, each one of us deep in our soul wants answered. The lawyer tests Jesus. He asks Jesus a question, and that question is, what must I do to inherit? Go ahead.
Eternal life.
Who here wants to know the answer to that? It's a great question. So Jesus, being Jesus, looks at him and says, well, what do you think? And he says, well, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your
neighbor
as yourself. And the lawyer says, okay. Or Jesus says to him, you have answered rightly. And the scripture says to justify himself, right? Which is frankly what we all do all the time. I am trying to justify myself. I am justifying myself while I'm angry at this person. I am justifying myself while I'm stuck in my quicksand. I am justifying myself in every way I possibly can. He asked another incredibly clarifying question. Who's my neighbor? And then we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I won't rehash it. If you don't know it, it's Luke chapter 10. I encourage you to watch it. You can watch it too, probably on TV somewhere. There'll be really terrible acting. Possibly quicksand. But it'll be there. Bear one another's burdens. What's that burden? In the Good Samaritan, it's a lot of things too. But if we're going to boil it all down, it's one thing. And it's the message of Christianity, of the gospel, that is unlike any other message. It's the message of love. Defined in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the message of love. And Jesus in that parable describes not who a neighbor is, but what a neighbor does. And we'll go back to that. Bear one another's burdens, because it is a burden to forgive. It is a burden to love sometimes, is it not? It is a burden to help your brother or sister or anybody else out of the quicksand. Okay? Let's move on, because time is ticking. We'll sum up the last 6 through 5. For if anyone thinks he is something, this is a tough one, right? Mm-hmm. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. That should get out of jail. I didn't tell you I got a 5-minute. If anyone thinks he is something, he is nothing. He deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work. Then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. And so there's a lot of work to be done. But the work that I think Paul is reaching to here is the work of loving others. Loving your neighbor. This is important in all of our relationship. I picked up a saying a long time ago, and by the time my kids die, they're going to think, or I die, I don't want my kids to die, they're going to think I actually came up with it. That's the key. You steal other people's stuff, you do it long enough, they think you do it. Just pull the thumb, don't point the finger. Pull the thumb, don't point the finger. That brother is, you're in an argument with somebody. They're on the wrong. They've attacked you. They've done all this other stuff, but you've retaliated. Pull the thumb, don't point the finger. Take a look at yourself and do the work inside of yourself. Humble yourself, because this is really not so much about you and him. This is about you and the Spirit of God within you, yes, being aligned.
Come on, Brian.
Saying, regardless of the evil that has been done to me, I love you, Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm not going to perpetuate that evil. Even if I'm in a right and it's justified, I am going to turn the other cheek. If you ask for my cloak, you get my tunic also. Pull the thumb, don't point the finger. See, it's easy for me to complain about my teenage daughter. Many of you guys have heard about it. That's pointing a finger. But when I take a look at myself, I ask myself and I look at myself, what kind of teenager am I to God? And I'm a terrible teenager. I'm horrible. I'm rebellious. I'm irritated. I don't want to hang out sometimes. I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like what you're saying, Pops. Really? I want to go do this. You're so controlling, God. So controlling. I want to make my own decisions. I'm not saying that's my daughter. It literally is me. I actually stomped my foot yesterday because the Final Four didn't get recorded. And I was like, what? Literally, that's a true story. My son's just looking at me going, yeah, I'm a 2-year-old. In my marriage, we are the Church of Christ. That means each one of us is a bride of Christ. That makes us, first and foremost, every man here, a wife of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What helps me is to pull the thumb and not point the finger at my wife. Am I submissive to God? Am I learning from God in quietness, or am I arguing? Am I, you know what I'm saying? And when I look at myself in relation to God, I'm like, holy cow, my wife is amazing. Right? Pull the thumb. Not to beat myself up.
Yep.
Right? Not to hurt myself, but to understand the unbelievable love God has for me.
Yes.
That His Spirit, His hand is there to help me help others. Mm. Right? Comparison, Teddy Roosevelt said this, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm. Right? Think about it. What has comparison ever done for you? Pride, right?
Yeah.
What does pride do? It just separates you from people. Mm-hmm. I'm proud. Our high school is so proud because we're going to beat up that. My sister, my daughter was in Churchill. We were so proud and we hate Sheldon. Now she's in Sheldon. Churchill sucks. Pride is a soul killer. And it makes God an enemy of yours because you didn't do nothing. He's done it all through you and we don't even know it. Mm-hmm. The second thing, I call it pie. It's because I remember it. The second thing is insecurity. Mm-hmm. Insecurity leads to what? Anxiety, fear, all these other things. Depression. I mean, it gets so complicated. Comparison does that. And also the third one is envy.
Yep.
Why them and not me? Why them and not me? The person who has this just says, hey, you do the things that I did and you'll have what I have. Yeah, but you weren't abused. You weren't, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this is what our society does. It is setting us against each other.
Yes,
all the time.
Right.
When is the next reason for me to be offended or hurt or to see why I haven't accomplished what I need to accomplish?
Oh, totally. Yes.
And God and Jesus is saying, just turn to me. Mm-hmm. Overlook over those things. Follow my Spirit. Put your hand out and help your brother, your sister, your neighbor, whoever, as they're stuck in the sand. If they don't take your hand, that's okay. I'm supporting you. I've got them on their own journey.
Amen.
So in conclusion, seek to follow the Spirit. Know that it's okay. It's normal. It's going to happen. You're going to trip up. You're going to be overtaken. You're going to fall into the pit. Some of us fall into pits. It's ridiculous. It'd be a great movie, a comedy. Fall in the pit. Fall in the pit. Fall in the pit. I'm a pitfaller.
Yeah.
And then I just sit there and try to get out of it myself. Forever. And finally God gets me out of it. I'm like, yeah, I'm free. Da 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 da. Oh, shiny thing. Right, squirrel. Look to yourself, pull the finger, don't pull the thumb, don't point the finger. Look to yourself, because ultimately this is about you and your dad. He loves you, he's got you. And if you follow his Spirit, even if it doesn't make sense, if it's not reasonable, you'll end up in a place that you'd see miracles happen. Galatians 3:5 says, did you see miracles by following the law? No. You will never see a miracle by just obeying God, following a law, a list of rules. But you'll see miracles if you listen to His Spirit. And even if it doesn't make sense, you follow it. So thank you for your time, guys.
Oh, I forgot to have him change the scripture.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Oh, no, let me see this. This probably wasn't supposed to. Go ahead, change it real quick. Show mercy, Which of these three do you think proved to be, fell in Robert's hands, and he said, this is Jesus, the one who showed mercy to him. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we need to clap again?
Amen. For him.
How do you follow that?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Brian is so much fun. We have the pleasure of having he and his family in our family group, and we had a blast. And it's never a dull moment, and with Brian, and I just love it. It's just so much fun. And that's what I love about the kingdom, just the variety of people that we have. We're not all the same. We're not cut out of that same mold. We all bring something very unique to God's family. I couldn't help but when you were talking about the fall into pit thing, there's this great thing on Facebook where a sheep, the guy's pulling, have you seen this, where he's pulling a sheep? Okay, the sheep fell in this ditch. They had dug this long ditch, you know, and the sheep was stuck in. And this guy is pulling and pulling. He finally gets the sheep out. The sheep jumps, dance, runs. Right back in. Just lands right back in and gets stuck in the ditch again. And then the guy just goes, what the heck? That's kind of how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. I'm free! Right back in. Communion. This part is not about just following, you know, and repeating Brian's sermon. But no, I do love what he shared about restoring and mending. And communion is very much about that. Communion is very much about restoring and mending us. I want you to turn over to John 6. John 6 is this chapter that talks about the bread of life and Jesus and who he is. And it's really a kind of a strange and interesting discourse from Jesus to his followers, the people that have been following him around. And it goes through this dialogue back and forth of who I am and what are you doing here, and it's a comparison to the bread of life in the Old Testament. And then he even gets down to this nitty-gritty about, no, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And everyone kind of just goes, wait a minute, this is weird. This is way off. And they're kind of wrestling with it. And in verse 26 and 27, he kind of helps define who these, what they're really there for. He says, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the God has placed his seal of approval. Now, he had just fed 5,000 a little bit before this. And so everyone is like following around going, free meal. This is great. This guy will crank out breakfast, lunch, dinner every time you need it. They weren't really there to follow Jesus. They liked the fact that he could do this for them, but they didn't want to really go deep into terms of what that would mean. And so you see him trying to refine them, teach them, guide them. And at the very end, you know, he talks about, you know, this decision that you're going to have to make. And as I said earlier, in verse 53, he says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And it can be confusing. You know, you can look at this from a purely physical world and you can go, wait a minute, that's pretty weird. But he's really not talking about that. Jesus is always talking from a spiritual sense and going, I am who you need to feed on. I am the drink that you need to drink from. Nothing else. You know, and as Brian was sharing, you know, we want to go to all these other reasons and we want to go to our own emotions and feelings as to why, you know, I need to this or why I justify that. But the truth is we just need Jesus.
Amen.
And that's where it starts and ends. And it's just foreshadowing. You kind of go, well, why was that all about that? Well, then you kind of cast it forward and you look in Luke 22, and we see this interesting event. the Last Supper. Jesus talks about, you know, this bread represents my body. This, you know, the wine represents, you know, my blood. Do this in remembrance of it. We think, well, is that for the apostles? Well, just his close friends? Who's that for? And then we get to launch a little bit further down the line in 1 Corinthians 11. The whole chapter is really devoted about honoring God through the Lord's Supper. And that's what the communion is really about, is recognizing. And we see it from the old, you know, I mean, from the, you know, the Gospels, you know, laid out in this weird statement, and then it's cast forward, and we get to kind of go, oh, that's what he means. But God wants us to go deep and study it out, not just go, let's carve up Trey today, I guess. He's the one that gets to, you know, I mean, it's just, we really dive into what and why he says what he says.
Amen.
We proclaim his death until he returns. And so as you take the bread, just like you say, remember Jesus. Remember the choice you made. This isn't about, okay, I get the bennies of being a part of a fellowship. It's about, the bennies are a byproduct of your relationship with God.
Amen.
All the rest of it, because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to blow it. We're all going to hurt your feelings somewhere along the way. And then you kind of go, well, that's it, I'm out. But if you're connected with Jesus, it doesn't matter what's going on around you.
That's right.
You just, you know, you ride the wave, the storm, whatever it might be, and you wait for the storm to pass. And you're still right there. Mm-hmm. Somebody's dragging you out of the pit. Sand pit, or the quicksand. But, you know, it's Jesus that does it. So as you take the bread, remember that. Think about where you're at. Think about why you're here, why you want that relationship with God. And as you take the juice, remember the incredible forgiveness that comes from that relationship. What has taken place on the cross so that you don't have to go through that, and the promise it made for you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for today. Thanks for every day that you give us. You give us a new start. You give us a new hope. You give us a new beginning. Father, we need them because we mess them up so often. And it's so refreshing to be able to come before you and lay everything down and just go, this is where I'm at. And to have you go, I've got this. And I forgive you. And I love you. And we get to kind of stand back up and head out the door again. So we're grateful for what your son did on the cross for us. The forgiveness that comes from a relationship, but choosing to have a relationship with you. The path that goes through that incredible, incredible sacrifice. So, Father, we're just so blessed. We just thank you so much for all that you do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.